Hello and welcome back to the Women's Soccer Podcast. I'm your host, Liam Greco, but you may know me better as LTG. In today's episode, I'm very excited as we have our first player interview ever with Carly Giamona of the Tampa Bay Sun. In this riveting discussion, we talk about her career so far and we look forward to the inaugural USL Super League season as she comes home and signs her first professional soccer contract in the United States of America. Before we dive in, I want to give an extra thank you to the Tampa Bay Sun media team for allowing me to be a part of their first ever inaugural media day, and for Carly to be gracious enough to give me the time for this interview. So without further ado, let's dive in. Carly Giamona is a professional women's soccer player who has brought her talents all around the globe, but has now returned to her home country to play in the Tampa Bay Sun's inaugural season in the USL Super League. She's a creative midfielder who's good on both sides of the ball from Littleton, Colorado. Before signing with the Sun, Carly played at other top teams like Monterrey in Liga MX Femenil and Glasgow City in the Scottish Women's Premier League. As we are at the Tampa Bay Sun's media day, we don't have too much time and I'm not going to keep you for too long, so let's dive right into the first question. But thank you so much, Carly, for coming on the show today. I wanted to start going back to your roots. So thinking back to your childhood, why was soccer such an appealing sport for you? And do you have a memory of why you got into the game originally?
So I originally started playing soccer because my sister, she's about 3.5 years older than me. And I just remember always seeing her out in the front yard playing or going to her games. And so seeing her kind of, I always wanted to be like her. So seeing her out there just made me want to do it even more. So she was kind of the real reason I got into it.
So you had a role model from the beginning, which is why you were propelled to initially start playing. But was there a moment for you when you were older that maybe following up on that original question wanted you to pursue a professional career in this sport?
Yeah, I think once I got to probably middle school, I don't think there was a specific moment, but seeing all the older girls like committing to colleges and making it professionally, I think just made me want to go professional as well. And I think I knew that at kind of a younger age, as much as I loved the game, that I wanted to play as long as I could.
You had these role models from the beginning of your career as you were playing at the youth level, and you weren't just playing in your school divisions. You played with the youth national team, the U.S. youth national team, at multiple age divisions. And how was that experience for you being part of that group?
I think it was super exciting. I think for a lot of the girls, that's like a dream for everyone, is to be able to play for your country. And so for me to be able to play with the national teams was definitely something that I was working towards and hopefully I can get back into soon. But I think it's just like as a young girl, that's something that's like a major dream of yours. And so being able to do that was really awesome.
So you represented that team at the younger level, and obviously being in such a high intensity environment at such a young age would have helped you probably grow. Can you speak a little bit more on how that environment really has helped you grow as a player or even just as a person off the field?
Yeah, definitely. Going into camp and just being surrounded by all these amazing players and amazing staff members just made me want to do better. You want to go there and you want to do your best. And obviously when you represent your country, you want to do the best you can. And so being in that environment just made me want to be the best I can and kind of gave you like a little chip on your shoulder that you're here for a reason and they believe in you. So being able to go there and prove that you deserve to be there was definitely really cool.
You talk about that belief that you got in the youth national team setup. You have also been very vocal about how you found that belief at college with Pepperdine. And so I wanted to hear a little bit more about that because there has been a growing trend of players in women's soccer skipping college and going straight to the professional leagues. And as someone who has been vocal about how Pepperdine was such an amazing experience for you, can you elaborate on the benefits you personally felt of playing college soccer on and off the field?
Yeah, I think it definitely depends on the person to person. Some girls want to go pro right away. And for me, college was such an amazing time where I got to meet the most amazing people and grow on and off the field. Obviously, on the field, Pepperdine is an amazing program and my coaches helped me grow and my teammates. But not only that, being able to go to a school where I got to get an education and just grow as a person. So I think it was kind of a no-brainer for me to go and be able to do that because you were growing as a person on and off the field and just becoming better in so many ways.
So I saw on your resume during my research, you were also a digital marketing intern during college. You did that as well for Pepperdine. And how did that opportunity come about? Was it with your major? And how was it managing an internship on top of being a student athlete?
Yeah, so it just, for my major, I had to do an internship. I had to get an internship credit. And after soccer, whenever that is, I would want to stay in sports. And so being able to help out with Pepperdine Athletics was a really exciting opportunity for me, because I kind of got to see what it was like as a non-athlete, like being able to be involved with the different marketing setups and even helping with events and stuff. So it was really cool for me to see kind of like the background of it and see how things come to work, because for us, everyone puts in so much work and help us so much. So it was cool to be a part of it.
So you're almost giving back to the community that you worked so hard to get into, obviously at a younger age, to get into a college program. And after college, you were able to secure a roster invite to the Chicago Red Stars camp. The global landscape for women's soccer has widened, which is due to the part not just of other leagues around the world, but also the USL Super League. And you decided to go play with Monterrey in Mexico instead of continuing your time at the Red Stars. Can you explain your general thought process on that move and speak to how beneficial it is that the game is growing so far across the world?
Yeah, I mean, within the last few years, I think we can see just how much popularity women's soccer and women's sports in general has been growing. And so when I was at Chicago and I got the option to go to Monterrey and get a guaranteed contract, and I was excited to go abroad for a little bit. So it was an exciting opportunity for me to kind of get out of my comfort zone a little bit. I've always played in the States and I've always lived in the States. And so to be able to go abroad and, like I said, get out of my comfort zone was something that I definitely wanted to do.
So you talked about leaving your comfort zone off the field, but also going back to on the field. Liga MX Femenil is one of the most technically gifted leagues in the world. And for a player like you who thrives in that midfield role, and various coaches you've had have talked about your technical ability being so beneficial for their side. And so I just wanted to hear more about, how did the experience of playing in a league that was different in a lot of ways on the pitch and regards to tactics from the U.S. so beneficial for you personally?
Yeah, I think going anywhere that's different from where you're used to is going to help you in so many ways. And obviously all the leagues around the world have a different style and different players. So for me going to Mexico, I got to kind of see what their style was. And like you were saying, it's very technical and the girls are super talented. So for me to go in there, I got to kind of learn a different style of play of myself. Like I got to see what I could do more technically. It's not as physical as the States, so you kind of have to tap into different parts of your game. And that was super cool for me to be able to do that.
So after leaving Monterrey, you signed with Glasgow City in Scotland. Why did you believe that you needed a move at the time? And why was Glasgow such an optimal environment for you to continue growing as such a young player?
I was kind of going back and forth with what I wanted to do. And as I was saying before, playing abroad is something that I've wanted to do. And so the opportunity came up for Glasgow City. And obviously playing in the Scottish Premier League is really good. So I was super excited about that opportunity. And when it came up, I was like, yeah, let's do it. My contract in Monterrey was up and it just seemed like the right time to make a move and see what else was out there.
So looking back at your 18 months overseas right before you came back to the United States to play with the Sun, how did the experience of being away from your home continent help you grow? You talked a lot about how being in new environments is so beneficial. And now that you're playing back in America for the first time with a guaranteed professional contract, can you lay the pros and cons of both of those options for you personally?
Yeah, I think for me, playing abroad was an amazing experience. And I think if anyone has the opportunity to play abroad, they should take it, because not a lot of people in the world can go live in a different country and make money to do that. And nothing's permanent. So even if you don't like it or you want to come back, that's always an option. But I got to travel. I got to meet so many people that would probably have never have met. And also soccer wise, kind of learn different styles of play, learn different things about my game that I might not necessarily would have learned playing in the States, since that's where I grew up. So playing abroad helped me develop in ways that I don't think I would have if I would have kept playing in the States. But again, that's so different for everyone, because girls go play in the States their whole life and are amazing. So I think it definitely depends on the player, but I would say for me, and I know speaking to a lot of my friends that have also played abroad, that was like one of the best times in their life. So I would definitely recommend it. And I had nothing but great experiences in both Monterey and Glasgow.
So you talked a lot about the physicality of the American style of soccer, and then going over to Mexico, you grew in that technical ability, and obviously the Scottish Premier League is known for their very good possession style football. And now that you have all three of those attributes, you're coming back to your newest club, which is why we're here today at the Tampa Bay Sun Media Day. Can you share how this opportunity came about, why you liked the project, and your thoughts on being part of this club so far?
Yes, I had heard about this league probably about a year ago when it was all in the works, and probably in the fall started talking to Denise and just realized that it sounded like a great opportunity. I love Denise, and she was a coach I definitely wanted to play for. I love everything about what she's doing with the club. And I think there's something so exciting about being a part of this club and this season and this league where it's the first to happen. And in Tampa, it's the first women's professional sport of any sport. So that was super exciting and enticing for me to want to be a part of it. So yeah, I'm just super excited to be able to be a part of it. And it's kind of surreal that it's actually all happening now.
Yeah, you talked a lot about how this is the first time that there's been a professional women's sports league here in Tampa Bay. And that's the case for a lot of the different markets in the USL. And it goes to show how this league is really invested in growing the access that young women have to view their potential idols on the biggest stage. You talked about for yourself personally, how having that when you were younger and looking up to the older girls at your schools and different clubs that you were a part of was such a big deal. And it seems like you had a great experience so far with the Sun, from what I can tell. And how has preseason been going so far for you? Is there like a favorite memory you have for the team that you want to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, it's been going great. I've enjoyed all of it. Early in preseason, we had kind of a fun day where we did an escape room, and then we had like a baking competition to see who could bake the best dessert, and my team won, so that was good. But no, it's just been good getting to know everyone and kind of creating our team. Like, we're a brand new team with brand new girls that a lot of us have never played together. So we're kind of just creating our own identity. And that's been really exciting because we're from scratch. So we can kind of create what we want to.
Well, you're thinking two steps ahead, because that was about what my next question was going to be. This team, the Tampa Bay Sun, are in their inaugural season. And you obviously talked about how there's been a lot of team bonding. And that's obviously a very important attribute of this process. You've never been a part of an inaugural team before. This is your first time going into a new project. It's a blank canvas. Yeah. And so this has been a very new experience for you. Could you talk a little bit about how that adjustment to playing professionally in America has been like, and also about how it's been to start from scratch on a team that has never played together before?
It's been super exciting for me because, as we've talked about, I've been abroad for almost 2 years. So to be able to come back and feel more at home, more what I'm used to, has been super nice. As much as I enjoyed my time abroad, it was definitely difficult sometimes. So being here, I'm definitely more in my comfort zone, and that's been beneficial to me. But being able to be a part of the Sun is just an amazing opportunity. And like we've been saying, the first season, the first team in Tampa that is a women's professional team, it's just really an honor to be able to be a part of it. So I think we're all kind of playing with a little bit of a chip on our shoulder because we are the first women's professional team here and we want to make Tampa proud.
So you talked a lot about how this is kind of going back into your comfort zone after you've been out of it for a while. And obviously, it's quite hard as a professional women's soccer player where you're faced in the previous world about the USL, where it was if you didn't get drafted, you kind of had to look elsewhere. And obviously, that's a big step to take. And I applaud you for having that ambition to still chase after your goal, even after you were kind of turned aside by the NWSL. And that happens too much, honestly. We've talked a lot about how the NWSL draft system, a lot of people have gotten overlooked, even after an incredible college career like the one you had with Pepperdine. And so the USL has announced its intentions to double the amount of professional women's soccer teams in the United States over the next few years. What is your favorite part about the USL, and why in your eyes is this league so important for the future of women's soccer stateside?
Yeah, I think in the States it's been a problem because there's just not enough teams for girls if they want to stay here and they want to play. And so really, if you don't make it into the NWSL, or that's not how it works out for you, your only option is to go abroad. A lot of the girls want to stay here. And so the USL provides those opportunities for people to still play in the States and play at the highest level. So I think this league is going to be full of talent. And I think that's what's super exciting as well, is we're seeing all these girls signing and these teams that have so much talent. And I think it's going to be such a competitive league that's only going to keep growing and growing.
So you talked a lot about how this is a great opportunity for so many girls to get the chance to play professionally in the U.S. And you've talked about how you have that chip on your shoulder because you're trying to honor the fans of the Tampa Bay area. Just speaking to them directly for a minute, if you had to give a pitch to a prospective fan of the Tampa Bay Sun, what would you say to them about why this team is so important, not just the Tampa area, but for women's sports across the United States?
Yeah, I think not only for Tampa, but just the league in general. Like, women's sports is growing so much and there's so much talent. And I think a lot of the times women's sports is overlooked because of how much media coverage everyone in the men's side gets. And so when you look at our team, and I'm sure the other teams, there's so much talent and a lot of special things can happen. So with our team, I know we're going to do our best and we're going to hopefully win and do what we can. So I think it's going to be really exciting and really fun to watch.
Looking at your own professional career, this is a little bit more reflective. Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? What are some short-term or long-term goals currently on your mind?
Well, in 5 years, I hope I'm still playing. still playing. I don't know where. Soccer's a crazy sport and a lot can happen. So you kind of never know where you're going to be, but definitely still want to be playing. And short-term goals, just helping my team in whatever way I can with this season. We want to win and we want to win championships. And so a little bit of a longer term goals would be winning the league, winning the tournament, being super dominant in our league. And then for me personally, just doing the best I can and showing people what I can do and hopefully helping my team out a lot.
Being part of a club like the Tampa Bay team, which you've talked a lot about how it's an honor to get the chance to play stateside, the club is really focused on investing in women. This is the first team you've been a part of where it's a women-only club, and you've talked a lot about the disparity in media coverage. What does it mean to you as a player to see the ownership group and the staff really investing in the side and putting the output into the team, women's team, that unfortunately is not seen a lot around the world, and allowing you to have the best environment you can to succeed professionally?
It definitely motivates us a lot, especially me and all the other girls. We see how much they are doing for our club and doing for this team. And I think that just makes us want to like give back to them and show them that what they're doing and what they're investing in us for is the right thing to do and just prove what women's sports can do.
Okay, thank you so much for that answer. We're now going to move on to the rapid fire question segment. There's three categories: personal questions, soccer questions, and Tampa Bay questions. So we're going to start with personal. Okay. Favorite off-field hobby?
Playing with my dog.
Favorite part of Tampa Bay so far?
The weather.
Favorite thing you've done in Tampa so far?
Going to the beach, going over to St. Pete and just hanging out at the beach.
Favorite book you've read?
Maybe Where the Crawdads Sing.
Something people would not know about you just by watching you play?
Maybe now that I can speak a little bit of Spanish now. I'm pretty good at Spanish these days.
Okay, moving on to soccer. These are really quick questions. Messi or Ronaldo? Okay.
Messi.
Morgan or Rapinoe?
Morgan.
The soccer position you think you'd be great at, but you don't play?
Center back.
Who will win the Olympic gold in women's soccer this year?
The U.S.
Low socks or high socks?
High.
Will you have more goals or assists this season?
Assists.
Who will be the team's leading goal scorer this season? You can just shout one person out if you don't want to pick, or one you think that will score a lot of goals.
Riley Mattingly Parker.
Team DJ.
Hannah.
Favorite part of the Sun so far?
Just the girls.
Okay, and we're going to end with a really goofy question. Best partner on the team for, like, TikTok dance or, like, the vibe? Who you, like, if you were, like, stranded on an island?
Probably Yuki.
Okay. Thank you so much, Carly, for this interview.
Thank you.
Sorry, this is the really goofy way to end it, but I hope that you have a great season with the Sun. It feels like you've had a great experience, at least from this interview, and good luck with the rest of the season.
Thank you so much.
Wow. I don't know about you, but I thought that was just such a moving conversation. Thanks for staying tuned in for the whole episode and making it this far. And thank you so much to Carly for devoting time for this interview. I appreciated Carly's honesty and vulnerability in this interview which was obviously moderated by a teenager, so that must have been a little bit awkward for her. And her responses just speaks volumes to how this league has been needed for a while. Carly's one of the many players who's been forced with the toughest of options to leave her home country and give up everything she's ever known to pursue her dream or give it up entirely after not pursuing the traditional NWSL route. As Carly says herself, women's sports are constantly overlooked and the disproportionate media coverage between male and female athletes is quite simply wrong. Because of the USL, Carly and hundreds of female soccer players get to return to their home country and pursue their dreams, instead of having to go overseas if there isn't space on an NWSL roster. As Carly's coach at the Tampa Bay Sun, Coach Denise, alluded to in a recent press conference, 30 of Europe's countries equate to the size of the U.S., and with women's soccer being so popular in America, the USL Super League is a necessity to bridge the opportunity gap for female soccer players. In addition, solely women's football clubs without men's teams tend to provide the female players with better working conditions. As talked about on the Meg podcast, some clubs in Europe give the academy boys teams, as young as preteens, larger priority for facilities than the professional women's side. The women's game is growing quickly, recently becoming a billion-dollar industry, but clubs need to catch up with how they treat their players. The time is now to treat female players with dignity, and the Women's Super League provides more professional opportunities to aid this mission. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode, and I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, I implore you to leave a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts for the Women's Soccer Podcast page. Leave a comment on our social media, which is at the Women's Soccer Podcast, _ in between each word. And while you're over there, feel free to follow us too. In addition to following us on Instagram, if you love this episode so much and want to make sure you never miss another episode that comes twice a week from the Women's Soccer Podcast, follow us wherever you got your podcasts. Thanks again for tuning in, and thank you so much for the Tampa Bay Sun for this incredible opportunity. With that, peace out from your host, LDG. See you next week. Bye.